Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Right. It's Thursday, September 15th, 2022, game day tonight. Chiefs and Chargers at Arrowhead Stadium. And Tom Pelissero of NFL Network has tweeted out that Chargers corner J.C. Jackson, one of their big free agent acquisitions in the offseason, is considered a game-time decision tonight against the Chiefs. The plan is to work out Jackson, who had ankle surgery on August 23rd, before the game, and then they will make a final call. So J.C. Jackson, star corner for the Chargers, will be a game-time decision for tonight's showdown at Arrowhead against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now we have Buster Olney from ESPN joining us. Buster, who's going to win tonight, the Chiefs or the Chargers, please?
Or maybe my son. Okay,
right.
Who's in college. He's a freshman, and he's trying to figure all that out. And so yesterday I got, you know, a frantic message from him. Do you have Amazon Prime? And I was like, what, you know, what's that about? You know, didn't know if it was related to his, sports management class, some sort of a math class. Is there some sort of a tutorial on there? No, it's about tonight's game. And he's absolutely frantic, and I suspect that I probably at some point will relent in the next 12 hours and figure out a way to get him on Amazon Prime. So I think the big winner tonight is going to be my son.
That's right. You got to do it. You got to let him watch Patrick Mahomes the second on Thursday Night Football. I will take that answer as the Chiefs will win, is what you're saying. That's the way I...
Yes, I believe the Chiefs are going to win. Although I will say, and I think you guys would agree, that right now the Chargers quarterback is probably one of the more underrated players in football.
He is there. It's a battle of top five quarterbacks. Thankfully, the Chiefs have number one on that list, and he's, three, four, five, whatever. But the Chiefs will win. Buster Olney is correct. And so we will... how about those Minnesota Vikings, Buster?
My Vikings, right?
They are your Vikings.
Yeah, I feel kind of guilty, pretending that I'm on the bandwagon with the Vikings, because before the season started, I was like, yeah, they're going to be mediocre. I know they had a coaching change. The Kirk Cousins is a quarterback, so how far are we going to go? And then they have that amazing victory the other day, and then I'm like, can I really get credit being on the bandwagon of the team I rooted for my whole life? And then I thought, yeah, I can, because they ripped my guts out for years and years and years. And I'm going to ride it when I get the opportunity. So, yeah, Packers go down. Aaron Rodgers stinks. We're moving forward.
There we go. I like that. You know what? This is the time for optimism. Let's go ahead and decide. I want to have you on the show live in Arizona at Radio Row at the Super Bowl, and to help us preview the Chiefs and the Vikings in the Super Bowl at the end of the year. How's that sound?
That sounds great, and I'll describe all the reasons why I knew all along that the coaching change would be instrumental for their massive comeback, and that despite the fact that the Vikings had a lot of issues going into the year, they found a way to get to the promised land, and we're going to come back and make up for what happened in that 23-7 Chiefs loss in what was Super Bowl III.
Super Bowl IV, but that was, of course,
right.
Lenny Dawson. Len Dawson recently passed away, and they'll dedicate that Super Bowl to Len Dawson, and the Chiefs will win again. I hate to tell you, I hate to predict that, Buster, but that's what will happen. But you know what? Getting there is half the fun. So let's not ruin that prediction.
No. You're talking to a Viking fan. Don't give me getting there is half the fun. You know, if it was half the fun, then we would have at least two Super Bowl wins among the four appearances that we've had.
You've had a lot of half funs there. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
It's like telling a Bills fan that.
So now, Buster, and look, everyone's focused on the Chiefs. It's the home opener tonight. They looked marvelous. But the Royals are marching towards the end of the season. And if you're looking for something to root for, Buster, you tweeted out some very good information. The finishing record the following teams need to avoid 100 losses. The Royals need to go 6-13. That's right. Let's go.
So
six
doable.
Wins. Come on. Let's do it. Can we get some support? Buster, what do you think?
I think they can get there, although I can't say that, you know, what we've seen in recent days necessarily makes you really confident. But that's a lot better than being the Nationals, who need to go 14-5 down the stretch to avoid 100 losses.
Yeah, I don't like their chances.
And I would say this, you know, the Oakland Athletics, they have to go 11-8 to avoid 100 loss seasons. Oakland hasn't lost 100 games in any season since 1979. And this was interesting, too. The Angels, you know, they have to go 2-17 down the stretch to avoid 100 losses. I think they can do it. I didn't realize this until I was looking at some of this yesterday. Do you realize the Angels have never lost 100 games? So when we talk about tanking, like, Artie Moreno has not been a good owner for the Angels. They've been incompetent in a lot of what they've done, but you know what? They've tried. And I think that's demonstrated in that stat as opposed to a team like the Orioles, the Astros a decade ago, who lost like 108 games, you know, 4 out of 5 years. That's when we know tanking's going on.
Well, Trout's on fire, so if the Angels avoid that, he's part of the reason. He's been unbelievable as of late.
Yeah, he's been going crazy, and this week it sort of and it's great for him because he had the issue with his back, and there were, you know, some folks suggesting that maybe the end of his career is near and he would not be able to come back. And, you know, instead, Mike has reminded everybody that for a decade he's been talked about as the best player in baseball. And also, I got a personal reminder of how superstitious he is. I asked, sent a note to the Angels saying, hey, can Trout join the podcast that I do sometime this week? And he's always been great with his time and always very gracious. And I got a note back saying, yeah, he's looking forward to coming back on the podcast. But how about we wait till next week? That'll be the time. And I just burst out laughing when I got that because that, what to me, was Trout superstition being, you know what? I don't want to talk about this home run streak that I have. And he basically confirmed after his streak ended yesterday, I believe, that the reason why he didn't want to talk to anybody was because he was superstitious and he just felt like, you know what, I need to just ride this out as long as I continue to hit a home run every day. But, yeah, Trout, if he continues to have the year that he's having, you know, with 35 homers and 101 games, there's a chance, guys, that next year he's going to hit career homer number 400 at age 31. That's pretty amazing.
So, Buster, you did some homework for us in the past few weeks and tried to figure out, you know, what's the Royals' main themes going into this offseason, what's their big priority, and you told us that from everyone you talked to, their big priority is going to be figuring out how to overhaul their pitching program so that they can do a better job of developing pitchers at the big league level. And the Royals in the past week parted ways with pitching coordinator Jason Simontacci after 5 years in the organization. A lot of fans are wondering, what does that mean? Is Cal Eldred still going to be back next year and all that? I'm just curious, your thoughts on where the Royals are now in that process of working on this pitching situation?
Yeah, and I think the overhaul is going to be widespread. I don't know exactly what that's going to take, but earlier this week I was watching a game between the Blue Jays and the Rays, and I give credit to my, you know, former Sunday night colleague Dan Shulman. He was running through the major league leaders in first pitch strike percentage, okay? And you see a common denominator going along because the Blue Jays are, you know, going to make the playoffs, the Rays are going to make the playoffs. And Dan noted that those two teams are 2-3 in baseball, ranked number 2 and number 3 among 30 teams in first-pitch strike percentage. The team that's number 1 is the team that has the best record in baseball and the biggest run differential, the Dodgers, 64%. Well, guess who's 30th? out of the 30 teams. The Kansas City Royals' first pitch strike percentage, by far the lowest in the major leagues at 57.8%. To give you an indication of, you know, how far the gap is between the Royals and the next closest team, the Rockies are at 59.3%. The Royals are at 57.8%. And I think that also probably is tied directly to the fact that they've generated the third lowest production on fastballs of any team in baseball, which makes sense, right? You fall behind in the count, then you you know, give the hitters an opportunity to anticipate when you're going to use your fastball, and they're getting crushed. And so whoever they bring in, you know, whoever, whatever the pitching conversation within the organization is going forward, I got to believe that that might be right near the top of the list. Look, guys, we're going to prioritize. We got to start doing a better job of getting ahead in the count. And here's an example of organizations that, because they get ahead in the count, they have success. That's going to be a big deal, I think, for the Royals moving forward.
Buster Olney's our guest. All right, Buster, Houston's 93-50. They are, they've won four in a row, eight of their last 10. They are cruising. Are they just going to roll right to the World Series?
No, I don't think so, because they're, you know, they're a great team. I was talking with A.J. Hinch, their manager, their former manager yesterday, manager of the Tigers. And we were talking about, you know, the Astros and how good they are and the pitching staff that they have. But it's not a dynamic team. Like, it's not a team that's blowing everybody out, you know, by on a regular basis like we're seeing with the Dodgers. And you know, the question came up in my conversation with AJ of, okay, which team is the biggest threat to the Astros? I think it might be the Mariners in the American League. And, you know, AJ agreed with my theory that, you know, part of the reason why the Mariners are dangerous to the Astros is because of familiarity. The fact that they play them all the time. You guys remember when the Yankees and Red Sox were in their heyday of their rivalry back in the 2000s, and the Red Sox were the one team that got to Mariano Rivera. And it wasn't only because they had good hitters, but because they saw them constantly. And so, you know, through that familiarity, they learned a lot about the opposing team. And AJ completely agrees with that. And he talked about, you know, how that the Mariners now, with Luis Castillo in the rotation, they have legit frontline starting pitching. You guys have seen Julio Rodriguez, you know, how dynamic he is, became a, you know, rookie with 25 homers, 25 steals yesterday. So to me, the Mariners, you know, making the playoffs for the first time in 21 years could actually be really dangerous to some of the other American League teams.
And, you know, Luis Castillo, he was one of the biggest acquisitions at the trade deadline. He's lived up to it. I mean, there was a lot of expectations placed upon him since. I mean, his ERA was 286 with the Reds. Since he's come over to the Mariners, 237. And so that's clearly a guy that, I mean, that changes everything in their rotation, especially in a playoff series, right?
Well, and if you remember, the team that was the primary competition with the Mariners for that trade with the Yankees.
Oops.
And the Yankees, I know from talking with the officials in their front office, like, they were disappointed that they didn't land Castillo, and then they saw the package that the Mariners gave up, which is basically three of their, I believe, top five prospects, and the Yankees people were like, yeah, we would have done that too. But, you know, what's happened for the Yankees is Frankie Montas has gone over there and has struggled to a high degree. And so a lot of Yankee fans upset that they didn't get Castillo, and instead he's the guy that they might wind up facing in the playoffs.
All right, Buster Olney from ESPN is our guest. All right, Buster, you had Marco tell us that there's a guy that leads the majors in wins who wasn't even in the big leagues a year ago. Tell us that story.
Yeah, and I think this is a story that could be heartening for Royals fans, you know, who are seeing some guys who, you know, have apparent talent but haven't put it all together. And that guy is Kyle Wright. And I know him because he went to the same college that I did. I've known him since he was an undergrad. Great guy. You know, he 3 years ago in spring training, I had evaluators tell me that Kyle Wright had the best stuff in spring training in the Grapefruit League. And the Braves thought, you know, this guy is going to have impact right away. He gets the big leagues, and it's like the game sped up on him. and suddenly was struggling to throw strikes and he's getting hit around. Well, the Braves made up their minds in 2021. Look, we need to leave this guy in the minor leagues. He needs to develop. He needs to put it all together. His first, I believe, his first appearance in the big leagues last year, his second appearance in the big leagues, actually took place in the World Series. Because of an injury in an emergency situation, he wound up playing a really important role for the Braves in the last games of the World Series. And they clinched. And I remember talking with Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager, saying, boy, Kyle Wright's personality is such that you could see him really growing from that experience. And lo and behold, you know, he has a chance for 20 wins this year. And, you know, by the way, a thing on the side that is really interesting, he loves to play the show, the video game. And he mentioned that his battery mate, Max Fried, I think that two of them actually like to do some simulated games on this, playing video games in the show to prepare for their starts.
Well, you know what? That's that's what Marco basically does. He plays video games and gambles in preparation for the show, and so there's nothing wrong with that. You know, we like that. You know, and hopefully yes. the Royals, Kyle Wright would look good in the Royals uniform. They should trade him to Kansas City. Hey, Buster, thank you so much for the time. And again, you're on the bandwagon with the Chiefs, right?
I'm on the bandwagon right. of them facing the Vikings in the Super Bowl and then stepping aside and losing to the Vikings to end my lifetime of pain.
Yes,
go.
Sir!
Buster, thank you for the time. We appreciate it.
See you guys.
That is Buster Olney from ESPN talking baseball with us. Now, we've got some different clips here from around the nation talking about the Chiefs and the Chargers tonight at Arrowhead Stadium. Let's start with Ian Rappaport with his latest last night on NFL Total Access, talking about the key injuries in the game between the Chiefs and the Chargers.
Well, let's talk about Keenan Allen. He is out for this Thursday's game, a huge game, as you guys mentioned, with a hamstring injury. He suffered it this past Sunday, but was really quickly ruled out, which almost always means a serious injury. That is not necessarily the case here. Actually, the MRI was a little better than anticipated. We know he is not going to play this Thursday, but there is actually a chance that he misses just one game. He will be monitored very closely. More opportunities for Mike Williams and DeAndre Carter. Meanwhile, in kicker news, Harrison Butker, one of the best kickers in the NFL and the Chiefs star kicker, suffered a sprained ankle, actually left Sunday's game, was able to tape it up, had a massive, massive tape job, was able to come back in and kick, mixed in a couple Justin Reed kicks there as well. He has already been declared out for tomorrow night's game. That actually is a really huge loss. Matt Amendola, who is on their practice squad, going to fill in for Butker.
All right, so let's hear now a couple of former NFL players, Michael Robinson and William McGinnis on NFL Network, as they gave some predictions ahead of the Thursday night matchup between the Chiefs and the Chargers.
This is Chargers Chiefs edition. And Rob, in seven career games against the Chargers, Patrick Mahomes has had at least 301 pass yards. Ooh. Just twice. Will he do it again for the third time Thursday?
He's going to have to, yes.
Willie, Mike Williams has had at least 67 receiving yards in six of his nine career games against the Chiefs. So he do it again?
Definitely going to need to.
And Rob, Austin Eckler has had at least 54 rush yards in five of his last six games. Will he have at least that on
Absolutely,
Thursday?
Absolutely, yes.
Ooh, Willie. Ooh. Juju Smith-Schuster has had at least 57 receiving yards only once in his last six. Will he have at least 57 against
yes,
the Chargers?
Yes, that Jackrabbit will. Yes, he will. And that Trojan. Yes, he will.
And Rob, Travis Kelce has had at least 70 receiving yards in both games against the Chargers in 2021. You
yes,
see that?
Will.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And Willie, Justin Herbert had at least 285 passing yards in each of his last five road games. Will he have at least that against the Chiefs?
Just under that.
Just under. There you go. Tomorrow we get.
All right, now let's hear from Bridget Condon. She is a reporter for NFL Network and covers the Chargers. Here she discusses how the Chargers defense plans to slow down Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense.
Brandon Staley says it's about a 50-50 shot that he will play. But they believe in some of the guys like Asante Samuel Jr., who stepped up big for him. He had that huge interception on the two-yard line against the Raiders. But the biggest thing Brandon Staley says is it all begins with putting pressure on Patrick Mahomes. He says he's a quarterback that you don't want to give him time, because if he has that time to read the coverage, that's where things get dangerous and it gets tricky, especially his connection that we saw on Sunday with Travis Kelce. So what they want to do is keep him in the pocket, not let him out of the pocket. Defensive coordinator Renaldo Hill says once he's out of the pocket, he's a completely different animal and he can extend plays. So they're going to need guys like Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, who combined for 4.5 sacks on Sunday, to continue to step up. And we really have seen.
And there at the beginning of the clip, you heard her saying 50-50. That's J.C. Jackson, who's trying to make an early return from ankle surgery. He is going to be a game time decision, according to Tom Pelissero from NFL Network. And then what else did you have there? They were talking about who's going to step up to replace Keenan Allen. Is that right, Marco?
Yes. Yep. Over on Good Morning Football.
All right, let's hear that.
Is it Juju? Is it MVS? Is it Sky Moore? Is it Justin Watson? Or is it just Kelce, Fortson, and Gray? We're going to the tight ends. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to see who steps up for Tyreek in the moments that matter.
Yeah, but listen, at least in week one for the Chiefs, you saw what Patrick Mahomes could do without Tyreek Hill. I mean, it was against the Arizona Cardinals, but I know it wasn't in the division, but at least you have one sample size of what it could be like. Last week in the first half for Justin Herbert and Keenan Allen, up until the 12-minute mark of the second quarter, Keenan Allen had 4 catches, good for 66 yards. The pace that he was on, talk about pace guy, to become obviously the favorite guy, favorite target for Justin Herbert in that game was remarkable. What it could have become in the second half and this season. So I hate this for Keenan Allen. I hate the fact that he doesn't get to play in this moment and show why he should be the top guy for the Chargers. That being said, a lot of other guys have an opportunity to step up here. Josh Palmer was on Peter's breakout players list. Tight end general Gerald Everett, he had a tight touchdown last week, 54 yards for the Chargers. I mean, he's got options. Justin Herbert does. He's spectacular. He's got to make other people special. Just like how Tyreek Hill, the argument was, did he make Mahomes good? Mahomes made Tyreek Hill fly, okay? Mm-hmm. He's got speed, but Mahomes put the ball where the ball needs to be. With Justin Herbert, who is he going to make look special tonight because he doesn't have Keenan Allen?
Who's it going to be? Hopefully nobody. Mike Williams, that's the big guy you got to take away. You know, that's he's a big play guy. He re-signed for a very large contract, and now he's got to help justify that, because without Keenan Allen, all eyes are on Mike Williams tonight. So
it'll be interesting to see how the Chiefs defend him, you know, is also especially considering McDuffie's absence. So be a big matchup.
You want to play that intro? Or do you want to save it till later? You give me the thumbs up or the thumbs down. I like it. That's the only reason I want to play it again. It was a very good intro that got me all fired up at the beginning of the show.
I don't have.
Would you play it and come? How about play it for Adam Kaplan as an intro to his segment?
Play for Adam.
Well, can you play for Adam?
Yeah, I can play for Adam.
Will you play for Adam?
If you yeah, I can.
Do you like Adam?
I do like Adam.
You want him to be excited?
I do want. I want him to get me excited.
Wow, he will. He'll give you some advice on how you should handle tonight's Chiefs and Chargers game. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com. Did you know that Greenlight Dispensary was voted the number one dispensary in Missouri and the number one loyalty program in Missouri? It doesn't surprise me one bit. If you're looking for the best cannabis experience in Kansas City, go to Greenlight Dispensary and visit them online at greenlightdispensary.com.
It all depends on what we see from the Kansas City Chiefs in terms of how real their defense is. When I saw them against Arizona, I was shocked that they ramrodded them the way that they did. But Keenan Allen, I mean, this is a guy that's had over 100 receptions the last 3 years. Okay, he's a primary target of Justin Herbert. Okay, with him out, you got Williams, got Eckler and others. But the bottom line is that is a primary weapon that you get that you're missing out on. it makes things a bit easier for Kansas City's defense. And if they are better than what we thought they would be, then it could pose some kind of problem. It's not beyond the realm of comprehension that that could happen.
There's a saying in football, right? Protection beats coverage every time. If you can protect for Patrick Mahomes, he's going to pick you apart. It doesn't matter. The great ones, that's what they're going to do. And so the way that the Chiefs reconstructed their offensive line and the way they've continued to develop that offensive line with Heck being their offensive line coach, it gives him the confidence to stand in the pocket, because we've seen the only time he really looked mortal was against Tampa Bay when his offensive line looked horrific.
We're going to get this twice a year, and we're also going to get a potential playoff matchup as well down
the
line.
If Justin Herbert can ever get there.
I think he can get there. I think they will get there this year. I'd be shocked.
He's got to do it first.
He does, but I'd be shocked if they didn't. Now, having said that, there is only one team that has beaten Patrick Mahomes twice in Kansas City, and it's the Chargers. One of the times was without Herbert. Herbert can become – Patrick Mahomes against the AFC West is 21-3 in his career. And so he can become the first quarterback to go beat Patrick Mahomes twice at Arrowhead.
Okay.
If they win tomorrow night. I'm excited for the prospect of having the next generation of quarterback duel on that level. And I think that's what we're going to have.
It's game day in Kansas City. Chiefs and Chargers tonight at Arrowhead Stadium. Let's talk to one of our NFL insiders, Adam Kaplan, all about tonight's big matchup. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Guys, good to talk to you. Yeah, that was pretty good there. That was pretty good. I didn't know you guys were going to play that. Yeah, that was good. Little intro there. So, yeah, look, this is a big time game. The Chargers completely revamped their defense. Talking to people there, they knew something that they had to be done. Their defense at times was extremely disappointing. And when you're in the AFC West, it's about those quarterbacks. So they needed to do something, and they completely revamped it. And you saw that last week with the pressure that they put on Derek Carr, who's not a turnover machine, but he turned it over and he got pressured.
One of the things about the defense that stands out to me, Adam, though, is they have a player, and when you talk about like a revamped defense, they also have somebody who I think it's not just me. He's highly respected across the league, and Derwin James, who was used in this game against the Raiders to do just about everything. I mean, he defended Waller at times. He defended Renfro at times. He was in the box making tackles on running plays, getting into the backfield. What kind of a weapon is he for the Chargers in this specific game against the Chiefs, in your opinion?
Yeah, and you'll see him on Kelce, no question about it, because safeties that are over 6 feet, I mean, that's why they're there. Khalil Mack was incredible. You know, he had not really played particularly well in the last couple of years with the Bears because he was hurt. He didn't practice very much talking to the Bears. That was the one thing, and that's why they're open to trading him. But he looked great. He was healthy. The one issue that you have is they're not going to have J.C. Jackson, their top corner. Well, actually, I should say this. He's close. He had ankle surgery in August and just started working this week. They're on a short week. So even if somehow he plays, he's not going to be fully healed there. So they have Bryce Callahan, who came over, who's a slot corner, who was with Brandon Staley in Chicago. Bosa was really good, very active last week. Kyle Van Noy, you guys might remember, Super Bowl champion with the Patriots, who's there. Morgan Fox is a new D lineman. Austin Johnson's a new D lineman. They have up to 6 new starters, guys, depending on what they want to do on the first play of the game. So they've reshaped it. You just talked about James, who got his big contract. They knew they had to do something to match up against these great quarterbacks, and that's the chess match tonight. What does Brandon Staley, the head coach who calls their defense, what's he going to do to slow down Mahomes and Kelce? And then with CEH now, I factor in the passing game. That's another thing that we had not seen last season that we saw in week one. That's something else to keep an eye on today.
And so you talk about injuries and J.C. Jackson maybe being a game-time decision. We know there's no Trent McDuffie.
Yes.
We know there's no Harrison Butker. And we also know there's no Keenan Allen. Your thoughts on the players who will not be in uniform tonight?
Yeah, so Josh Palmer, who's a second-year receiver out of Alabama, who's really talented, he will start for Keenan Allen opposite Mike Williams. In fact, talking to the Chargers about Palmer, you know, if you looked at his 40 time in the 4.5s, you go, I guess he's not fast, but he gets up right on the DB very, very quickly. He's very physical. He can line up inside or outside. That's a loss, obviously, because Keenan Allen – who probably will be a Hall of Famer. He's one of the top possession receivers in the last 10 years. He just catches everything and so reliable. And that's where Josh Palmer's going to have to make those possession catches over the middle and the short area. Mike Williams, you know, is a deep threat. We saw Gerald Everett. You know, Gerald Everett, we should mention, the tight end who was drafted by the Rams and was Seattle last season. He makes a big difference down the seam, and he had a touchdown last week. That's a guy you have to obviously keep an eye on, in addition to Austin Eckler out of the backfield. And what they're doing is they're using the tight ends more, you know, to spread out. Trey McKitty is another athletic tight end you're going to see tonight. With Keenan Allen out, they're going to need more pass targets available, so they'll use him as well. And, look, I'll say this about the Chargers. Despite how well they did, the Raiders came back and made it a very interesting game. I have to give the Raiders credit. And they could not cover Davante Adams last week, and which I thought was – he literally did everything. I mean, he was targeted 17 times. Derek Carr was back with Adams, his college teammate from Fresno State. They flexed out Darren Waller out, on the outside, and they were able to be successful. So the Chiefs without McDuffie, who you mentioned, that definitely worries me. It's a shame. You know, I know Andy Reid was very upset with the Cardinals grass that they have in their stadium, but he's got a hamstring injury. Thank goodness it wasn't a knee, and they'll go from there.
You're right, and Andy Reid was and did say that Butker's injury and Trent McDuffie's injury a result of the poor field conditions. But, you know, without McDuffie, we talk so much about the number of draft picks that made the team and how good these young defenders look in training camp. Well, that's who's next up. Jalen Watson, a seventh-round pick. Joshua Williams, a fourth-round pick. So now they all go up one notch because Trent McDuffie's not going to be there. They've got veterans like Rashad Fenton and Legarius Sneed and Thornhill and Justin Reed back there, but maybe take a little deeper into what you think the absence of McDuffie will mean for the Chiefs secondary tonight.
Yeah, look, it's obviously a problem, no doubt, because if the Chargers, even without Keenan Allen, the Chargers could spread them out a little bit. They know this, that he's not available. So you mentioned Williams, the fourth rounder, who, you know, he'll dress, he'll be there. The good thing is they have pretty good depth. And a couple things we had not talked about last week. And one of the things that I think is so impressive is how they've drafted on defense. Karlaftis, you know, made his presence last week, their first-round pick. He's a kid who's he's more of what we call a power end. He's not really known for his pass rushing, but he's getting better in that area. Chennault, obviously, at linebacker, who's very, very physical. Over time, is a guy's going to be a factor. You know, Nick Bolton's really talented, a second-round pick from last year. You know, for years, we've not really talked about the Chiefs' defense and how they've drafted, but they've got so many young kids that will dress, that will play, and are talented. Brian Cook's another guy. Someday, he's going to be a factor, a second-rounder, who I know a lot of people around the league liked. You know, Thornhill's got to get back to where he once was before the injury, but, you know, overall, this is a pretty talented defense that Spags has here to work with. And it's going to be tested. Like, the one thing we should mention, the Cardinals were really banged up last week on both sides of the football. I thought they'd get blown out, and they did. But the Chargers right now could match up for them in a variety of ways. This is a fun game. Like, this is – I mean, we could all debate whether this is the game of the week, but it's the game of this night. And the Monday night game in Philly should be pretty good. But I would tell you this. This could be a preview of what the division is going to look like in Week 17.
So the Chiefs' offense looked incredible against the Cardinals' defense. At times, Patrick Mahomes, we have had, you know, a few of our, you know, former players to come in and talk about the game with us throughout the week. Just talk about how effortless he made it. He made it look so easy, almost like it was a preseason game. Just, you know, everything he did was just unbelievable. And so now you're starting to see that narrative. I've already picked up on a couple of ESPN and NFL Network. Yeah. Now, is the Chiefs' defense more dangerous without Tyreek Hill after spending the entire effing offseason talking about the Chiefs' offense was going to take this huge step back? You saw Patrick Mahomes put up the four fingers after four touchdown passes and talking trash to either a player or the sideline. Andy Reid has indicated to some reporters, they've talked about in the broadcast of the game, that he took for the first time he heard criticism last year. He took it to heart and he grinded in the offseason, and he's out to prove people wrong. When you got a guy with that kind of talent that's motivated, that's dangerous, and we could see Patrick Mahomes pretty much on an FU tour this entire season. What do you think?
Yeah, now again, it was one game. So, and against a team that was severely shorthanded, no J.J. Watt, they were down two corners. And Mahomes, in fact, you know, I'll take this one step further. It seemed to me like what we call flag football, 7-on-7 football, which is a passing drill. You'll see, if you go to training camp or any practice with the Chiefs, you'll see it. Every team runs 7-on-7, which is a passing drill. The Cardinals had no answer. Now, the Chargers have a pass rush. I mean, I mentioned those guys earlier. They've had a lot of new players, a completely new front. And they run a 34 defense, and they'll bring it. They know they have to. It's going to be fun. Look, this is going to be a high-scoring game. I haven't checked the weather. Is the weather out there pretty good, hopefully?
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's going to be a awesome. Gorgeous night.
Beautiful.
Great. Yeah, I love it. So, yeah, you don't have to – because we had last weekend – we had three or four games that were impacted by rain, and I'm so glad we're not going to, in Philly Monday night, we're not going to have any bad weather. In fact, you know, there's a doubleheader on Monday night, but this game is so even, by the way. This Charger game, I certainly would lean towards the Chiefs, but I think it's pretty even.
Well, what's the score going to be? Because Marco's looking at that, the fact that the Chiefs are favored by 4, you think it's going to be very close? Exactly how close do you think it's going to be, Adam?
I'm going to, what's the over-under, do we know?
54?
Yeah, I'm going to pick it 28-24 Chiefs.
28-24 Chiefs.
That's right on the line, too. Right. Why is it still 4?
But that's the under.
Yeah.
So you like the...
I mean, could it be 60? See, the thing that I've learned with every every week one, I say this. The defenses are ahead of the offenses. And strange things happen in week one that you just can't predict. You know, the Denver game was ridiculous. I don't know if you guys saw that game.
Yeah.
The coach of my Denver, the new head coach, Hackett, he did not do a very good job. It wasn't just the craziness of that field goal decision. It just throughout the game, personnel usage. They also have a rookie defensive coordinator. They looked like it. They're going to be a good team. It's just they have growing pains. You have to account for a lot of changes that took place from last year to week one here, and I think that showed in the Denver game.
Yeah, I mean, Nathaniel Hackett grew up in Kansas City, so his dad was the offensive coordinator here back in the 90s.
Here's a little tidbit Marco just sent me about the over-under. Okay, so it's up to 54.5. In the wild card era since 1990, totals of 54.5 or higher on Thursday Night Football are 7-0 to the under, going under the total. Going under the total by 13.8 points per game. So there's a little tidbit from Marco.
There you go. Look, it is going to be a high-scoring game. But it's hard to predict if 60 points. Now, later in the season, by the way, depending on the matchup, like the second matchup of these two teams, everybody's healthy, that's when you think that everything's going on. In fact, the talk around the league is it takes like 3 weeks for offenses to get back where they need to get. It just because you don't. A lot of these starters don't play in the preseason. The timing is off. Of course, the tackling, boy, the against running backs last week, with the week one running backs did so well.
So this you know how this goes, Adam. This will be simplified down to whichever team wins is the team that has the better quarterback in the eyes of many. You know, that's it's just all going to be about the quarterback. We're going to forget everything everybody else did. But I'm curious what you think of where Justin Herbert is in his ascendancy, and is he ready to challenge Mahomes for best quarterback in the AFC type status in your mind?
He is. Funny story about Justin Herbert. So I'm at the Senior Bowl a couple years ago, right? It was the 2020 Senior Bowl. And I'm sitting next to a college quarterback coach who you're very familiar with Herbert, and he you know, Herbert back then was a guy who they called a see-it-and-throw-it quarterback. He didn't throw with any anticipation. He'd wait till the pass target would get open. He goes, man, I just don't know if it's going to work at the next level. When you play like that, you could get away with it at our level, but he goes, I don't know. And that was a thing no one could account for. He throws with much better anticipation. He's got better, you know, over his 2 years, he's gotten much better. And now he's looking like an elite quarterback. And you got to give Joe Lombardi credit, the offensive coordinator who worked with Drew Brees, work with Matthew Stafford. He was fired, unfortunately, during his first year, but he's rebounded nicely and done a phenomenal job. And they've built around him. You know, the thing we didn't talk about is how over the last two seasons they have 4 new starting offensive linemen, including Zion Johnson, their first-round pick out of this year's draft. And that's what they had to do. Rashawn Slater is really good. He's not the biggest left tackle. There are teams that saw him as a right tackle or a left or a guard because his arm length isn't great. He's not super tall, but he had a terrific rookie season. See, this is the thing about both the Chiefs and the Chargers. When you draft really well on both sides of the football, you could go from being an average team to an elite team. And obviously part of that is when you get it right at quarterback. And that's why the Chargers are going to push the Chiefs this season. Again, we've only had one game, and you could throw the Cardinals game out. I want to see a team that's fully stocked. And there are no excuses here for the Chargers. I understand Keenan Allen's not playing. Josh Palmer's a good football player. They're stacked. The Chiefs just lost McDuffie, and obviously Butker not playing. Matt Amendola, by the way, did not kick particularly well for the Jets when he was with them. But his workout apparently went well. So we'll see what happens, but should be a great one tonight.
And look, you ended with a very important point. No Butker, Matt Amendola, if it is a close game, it could come down to him. I hope it's not. I hope the Chiefs will will win, you know, by 7 to 10 points. But if it does come down to a close game, you got a guy who has a spotty resume as an NFL kicker stepping in for Harrison Butker, and that could be a difference maker. But you've got 20, we're putting down 28-24 Chiefs tonight on Thursday Night Football, right?
Yeah, that's my score. Yeah, and by one other little thing here. I know it was only one catch, but that was a phenomenal catch by Sky Moore last week and really caught the ball well. See, that the thing you're going to see about Sky Moore, later in the season when he becomes more of a factor, everything that the Chiefs saw, the play strength, the size 10 hands, which, by the way, is a size and a half bigger than Kenny Pickett's hands, the quarterback for the Steelers. Just a little nugget for you. Sky Moore is a super gifted player, and boy, did they draft well, the Chiefs. This is... The last couple drafts have been phenomenal, and you're starting to really see that.
All right, let me ask you about a couple of other interesting matchups this weekend. Who do you like between the Dolphins and the Ravens?
Yeah, this is the Ravens' home opener. I like the Ravens now. They've had a couple injuries, unfortunately. One of the offensive line, Juwan James, who was filling in for Ronnie Stanley. Stanley should be back at left tackle. They actually had three guys get hurt last week. That's the two were, you know, unfortunately serious, so... That you worry about. The Dolphins, look, they play great defense at home. It was pretty loud in Hard Rock Stadium where I was 3 weeks ago. But I got to see Tua doing on the road. And Mike McDonald, the new defensive coordinator who used to be with them, replaces the great Wink Martindale, is now the Giants defensive coordinator. Yeah, I definitely like the Ravens in that one.
Great voice on Mike McDonald.
Yeah, it's funny. The real Michael McDonald, right. Yes. Yamo be there.
Yeah, sure. That's right.
Okay, so this is a hot take question after 1 week of football. Is there a chance that the Monday Night Football matchup between the Vikings and Eagles features the two best teams in the NFC?
Well, it's funny. I thought the Vikings would be somewhere around 8 or 9 wins. And the Packers with those young receivers, they weren't ready. And by the way, the Packers were without both starting tackles. I mean, the Vikings did what they should have done. We need to see the Vikings outdoors in a hostile environment in Philly on Monday night. That's the nightcap of the doubleheader. We have to see how they handle it. Is there a chance? I mean, I think when we look at it, the Rams will be back. I know they had a terrible performance in week one. The Bucs have got some injuries on offense, which they have to get through. They'll get through it. See, I think what happens is, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but I know you're saying it, a hot take after week one. A lot of what we see does not wind up happening. Like last year in week one, I think the Packers got blown out. There were some teams that were terrible in week one that wound up being very good. So you don't want to, you obviously take observations and you make mental notes. Okay, this is what happened. Let's see what happens in week two. But here's one thing we do know. We didn't talk about the Buffalo Bills. They're really good, and they're going to be in the thick of it in the end. There's no question about it.
See, I got that hot take from Nate because you don't know this. In Kansas City, Nate is known as Clickbait Nate, Mr. Hot Take.
Oh, is that
that's
what they call
it? He's always putting that bait out there trying to hook
No, well, look, it's tough. Look, I've been in radio for 27 years, man. I know, and
that's
people
how he gets
love
the numbers.
Me.
Right. Yeah.
Especially when I'm wrong, people love throwing it back at me.
That's
all good.
That's why he's on the show. He brings in the listeners.
I like both teams. I'm not a sold on the Vikings, but I like your Eagles. I think that's a low-key good pick there.
Oh, I think it's going to be a fun matchup. Okay, before we let you go, Adam,
sure,
won't you please just give us your thought process while watching Nathaniel Hackett manage the clock at the end of that Broncos loss to the Seahawks? Because I can tell you, in Kansas City, we were thrilled to see it.
Oh, it was ridiculous. First of all, call timeout. I don't understand. I just don't understand. I get that this is his first ever NFL game. He knows he didn't coach a very good game. The running back usage was bizarre. How does the I can't even figure out what the heck he was. It was like it was like a grab bag. Defensively, they did, how do you make Geno Smith look like a Hall of Fame quarterback in one game? I mean, come on, Geno Smith is a journeyman backup. In fact, my Seahawks people, they were not expecting Geno Smith to win the job over Drew Lock at all coming into training camp, and it wasn't even close. Yeah, that was crazy. I give Geno Smith credit. He obviously looked very good out of the 2012 draft, but the second rounder for the Jets. But yeah, that was really embarrassing. You got to love it if you're a Chiefs fan. You got to love it. The Raiders, look, I didn't buy any of that hype with Josh McDaniels. The defense will not be very good. They're not getting in the playoffs. And by the way, I'll leave you with this. I think it's obvious the AFC is better than the NFC. I thought that coming in. I know it's only week one. But nothing changed in week one for me. The AFC is well ahead of the NFC.
Adam Kaplan, you are the man. We appreciate your time, and we will talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
That's Adam Kaplan. If you want to follow him on the Twitter, you should do that because he's a hell of a follow and one of our favorite guests. Tremendous NFL insider. And you could follow him on Twitter. Kaplan NFL is his handle. Back after this on WHB. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is live in Kansas. Oh, yeah. Just in time for tonight, Thursday night football. Everyone can experience the thrill of DraftKings early win promotion. Get up 7, you win. Bet on any pro football team, I got an idea, of your choice. And if your team leads by 7 points at any point during the game, you get paid instantly, even if your team loses. Man, oh, man. DraftKings Sportsbook. Betting legally on same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, and more anytime, anywhere across the Sunflower State. And to celebrate, DraftKings is giving their new Kansas customers a can't-miss offer. Bet just $5 on anything and get $200 in free bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code 810WHB to get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet on anything. That's code 810WHB only at DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati. Now checking in with Gary Lezak with a very important game day and game night forecast. Hello, Gary.
Good morning. It is game day. Great weather. Fantastic. Excellent conditions for football. And it'll be about 75 degrees in the fourth quarter. And I think it's going to come down to the nitty-gritty, nervous time end of the game because Justin Herbert is that good.
Stop it.
He is. I mean, this is what's so exciting about the NFL and where we are with the best quarterback in the NFL, maybe the best ever in Patrick Mahomes. And you've got Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, and these guys that are like competitors and rivalries developing between those guys. I mean, this is incredible. I mean, Herbert is good, and it's exciting. So Pat Mahomes is going to need to be focused and on. I'm sure he will be. It's a great week one. And, you know, it's going to be amazing when Arizona isn't as bad as everyone thinks. You know, Arizona looks like the worst team in the NFL, but what the Chiefs did to them. How good is the Chiefs' defense? Is this a rising defense with speed, and are they better than they've been? What do you guys think?
I mean, I think they're going to be very good. There's going to be some growing pains because there's so many young faces. And tonight, It is it's unfortunate that Trent McDuffie is going to be out for at least the next four games, because I do think he's a big part of this remade defense. But look, George Karloftis and Carlos Dunlap added to the pass rush. I think Nick Bolton, as you know, Nate has pointed out, is turning into a star right in front of our eyes. Nate says he loves him. Green dot, let's go. I think Willie Gay didn't have a great game last week, which means he's going to have a hell of a game tonight. I think Thornhill is back to what he was maybe before his injury. But the key tonight is, without Trent McDuffie, you've got Watson and Williams, the two other draft picks, next man up. And so we'll see if they can handle an excellent passing attack from Justin Herbert, but no Keenan Allen. There's your breakdown. Do you like it?
There you go. Yeah, no Keenan Allen is a huge factor. But, you know, Justin Herbert's going to rise and play well tonight, I'm sure, but he'll make a couple mistakes. So if Mahomes doesn't make the mistakes, we're going to win this game. My prediction on the game is 34-28. I'm obviously hoping that score is because it's 34-20 or something like that, with like 2 minutes to go, and Herbert comes down and gets a two-point conversion, but they're out of time, and so it ends up 34-28. I hope that's how it goes. Otherwise, it's going to be nervous time. It means we need to be loud. I'm going to be out there. This is going to be extremely exciting. And it's the Chargers Chiefs on Thursday Night Football. It's going to be on KSHB 41. So, yeah, it's going to be on Amazon Prime. First game, Al Michaels is in town. This is exciting. Oh, my goodness. It's epic. The weather, a few high clouds this morning, a few high clouds this afternoon. No chance of rain. A high temperature of 85 degrees today. Predicted 21 days ago. Remember, we predicted 3 weeks ago using the LRC. It's actually a 60-day prediction for 82 today. So it'll be off by 3 or 4 degrees. Not bad. But a beautiful day. Great football. Great atmosphere. GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. We're going to win this game and go to 2-0. Mahomes, 5 more touchdown passes.
Wow.
If he gets five more, then my forecast of 34-28 might include a missed extra point. So let's hope not. But anyway, 5 TD passes is my bold prediction.
Let's talk about this parlay. Tell me, Gary and Nate, if all these things are happening. You ready, Gary? You have a tremendous football mind. Okay. I need 4 things to happen. Number 1, Chiefs will win.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. Number 2, the Chiefs will have at least 2 sacks.
Sure.
Thank
sure.
you.
Okay.
That's close.
Patrick Mahomes must have at least 3 touchdown passes.
Yes.
Okay.
And the Chiefs must score over 34.5.
Oh, boy.
Oh!
That's right, a lot, man.
My missed extra point might do you in.
Son of a...
Hey, maybe this kid is going to go out there and maybe... At the end of the season, we're going to look back and say, hey, do you remember who made the game-winning field goal?
Yeah, and who'll get a ring.
In week 2.
That
could happen. How many times? We've seen it happen before here. You know, a backup quarterback has to come in and make a big play in the playoffs when Patrick Mahomes is out. You know, we've had guys.
You need to settle down now.
I'm just saying, let's not just write this kid off. Maybe this kid, I don't even know how old Amendola is. Maybe he's not a kid. But let's
he's
not.
Actually, you know what? He's 13 years old. Shockingly,
this young kid. This 13-year-old kid. But I'm just saying, let's not write him off. Maybe he's going to go out there and make a play for the Chiefs tonight and help him win the game.
Let's hope so, but let's hope it doesn't come down to that, Nate. I'll be nervous as crazy on that one.
What were you getting ready to say?
Nervous is crazy.
Nervous is what?
Crazy.
I was going to say something else.
I know you were going to say something. I would like to hear that.
I could say it. I know I could.
Well, say it then.
I want to be politically correct.
You're right.
So... nervous is crazy.
How much the Chiefs got to score again for your deal to hit?
34.5.
All right, I'm writing these down. I'm going to watch for this tonight and see if he wins.
So am I.
I think you get the 2 sacks, but the 30, it might be only 34 points. You might lose by 1 point.
Yeah, it's an aggressive all-Chiefs parlay.
That's
what I am. I like it.
What am I?
You don't want to be tentative. You want to be aggressive.
I'm all in on this team. Let's go.
Yeah, he's not.
And by the way, everyone, a 4-team parlay, that's a big payday. So good luck, okay?
I'll be rooting for you, buddy. Lunch on Steven if this thing comes through.
It's 71 degrees right now, 85 for the high. Have a fantastic day. Go Chiefs, and let's scream and make it as loud as ever before. I'll be listening next hour, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you, Gary. We'll be right back after this on WHB.